You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and yes, that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. This week, we recap the entire WrestleMania 28 experience, from Roxina to Hell in a Cell to Brock Lesnar to the city of Miami itself. My name is Machine Gun Kelly, and today I am joined by my broadcast partner, Flo Rida. How you doing today, Flo?
Flo Rida has returned from WrestleMania 28.
How are you doing? Millions!
And millions!
Yeah, Flo Rida fans. We could probably do without any more Flo Rida for a while, but we'll get to that. We'll get to everything that we experienced down in Miami as part of WrestleMania 28. What a great week we had. Personally, I'm glad to be home because I was a little worn out at the end, but Jamie, did you enjoy the trip?
I did, and you know, it's always a special trip for you and I.
Yep.
It takes us back to our younger years when we attended WrestleManias 4 and 5 together. Mm-hmm. David, just on a personal note, I had a great week with you. It was just a lot of fun. Already looking forward to WrestleMania 29.
Yeah, I agree, and we got to see a lot of friends that we've made over the years. And Miami itself, I thought, offered a unique experience, a lot of things to do, so it really was a great time. Listen, for this show, instead of just going down all of the matches we saw at WrestleMania 28, why don't we break the show out into four parts? We'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then we each have a final thought. Does that sound okay?
That sounds good. The only request I have is that I get to ring that bell.
Well, then here we go. For me, The Rock and John Cena main event at WrestleMania 28 definitely lived up to the hype. Jamie, I didn't think it was the greatest match I've ever seen, and there was a lot of expectation considering that we had known about this match for 12 months. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fact the crowd was electric. It was a good atmosphere at Sun Life Stadium. And most importantly for me, there was a clean ending with no interference. Regardless of who won, I wanted a clean ending. I think I mentioned that to you while we were watching the match itself. What are your thoughts on the main event of WrestleMania 28?
Well, I'll echo what you said in regards to excitement for the match, which is a difficult thing when you've been through a very exciting card mm-hmm. and drama-filled card. It's hard to continue on with that excitement up until the last match.
Mm-hmm.
The fans were enthused. There's no doubt about it. They were on their feet, very exciting. As you said, a clean ending. You know, the result to me personally was disappointing. I realized during the match how much John Cena really does mean to me as a wrestler, as I was very disappointed that The Rock won the match.
You mean he was a wrestling fan?
As a wrestling fan, correct. Cena, I felt, really carried The Rock during the match, especially the last half of the match.
Mm-hmm.
That said, as far as the match living up to the hype, I agree with you. I was just a little disappointed in the result.
You know, I was a little disappointed in the result, too. Although, let's be fair. Let's wait and see how this plays out. Let's wait and see where this is going to go. I like the fact that The Rock came back on Raw and seems like he's going to stay involved with the WWE. But I do want to say this about the match. We have impossibly high standards now where we think every match that's been hyped is going to be Savage Steamboat or Hogan Rock or Bret Hart at Steve Austin. Not every match is going to be super legendary. But I did think that this was a really, really good main event with a great crowd.
I agree. One thing that definitely came out of WrestleMania 28 for me was the fact that the international support for WWE is tremendous. We saw people from England, Ireland, France, Canada, Australia. I could go on and on. The WWE might be more popular overseas than it is in the United States. What was your feeling on that while we were at WrestleMania 28?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable because we meet people, like you said, from everywhere. You know, I think we take it a bit for granted that WrestleMania is going to be in the United States every year. And when we meet these people from, like you said, France and Australia and Ireland and Canada, this is a huge trip for them. They save all year. The flight expense itself is exorbitant. So, do I tip my hat to these people that really turn this into their major vacation every year. They do it because, like you said, WWE around the world is just a huge hit.
And as you said, the friends that we've met over the years from so many different countries, it's just so enjoyable to speak with them, and they clearly love WWE and professional wrestling.
Well, that I want to touch on that real quick. That's a great point, because they are spending hard-earned money to come here to celebrate pro wrestling. They don't come here to belittle it and to say they're better bookers and they've seen better matches in bingo halls. You know, they come here just to enjoy it, and I really like being around that kind of spirit.
I agree with you. Dave, do you realize that WrestleMania was broadcast in 30 different languages across 145 different countries?
I didn't even know there were 30 other languages, to be honest.
I think that includes some African dialects as well. But it's truly remarkable how global this sport has become, this entertainment industry, I should say, has become. Mm-hmm. And, you made a great point. I would not be surprised if you and I are traveling overseas in the near future to see a WrestleMania.
The energy of the crowds themselves at WrestleMania and Raw was simply amazing. Jamie, this tags on a little bit to what you were just saying. The support internationally is phenomenal, as we just talked about. But boy, do they bring the energy to the actual events itself. When you're in the live crowd and you have that kind of spirit, that kind of excitement, pro wrestling, in my opinion, gets turned up a notch. There were a lot of matches at WrestleMania 28 and at Raw the following night where the crowd just put it over the top. That was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed being a part of that, maybe more so than any crowd I've been a part of in the past. Did you feel that strongly about it?
I certainly did at Raw. I thought the crowd at Raw was unreal. Between the Daniel Bryan chants, you know, the yes, yes, yeses, which, by the way, at the Miami Heat game, I don't know if it was last night or two nights ago, did you hear that the crowd was chanting yes the whole time?
That is amazing.
I mean, that's just remarkable to me. Between that and, if you recall, and I don't know if this was shown on TV, there's a man dressed up in the Raw crowd as the Macho Man. And when he was seen on camera, the crowd started yelling Macho Man. Mm-hmm. It just took over the arena. It was truly remarkable. Yeah. Honestly, it was probably the best crowd I can remember for any sports or wrestling event I have attended.
Yeah, I would second that. And I thought the crowd at WrestleMania was good. I mean, it's open air, and people are sitting a lot more spread out. I don't think the sound travels as well as it does in a smaller arena, so maybe it didn't seem as loud. I thought the crowd was pretty up for the high spots in that show itself. But in general, no complaints at all. I thought people were there, again, to celebrate pro wrestling and to really just allow themselves to get swept up in what, in my estimation, was a very, very good pay-per-view Sunday night.
Yeah, I went back and rewatched Raw, and the cheers for The Rock and Brock Lesnar were louder than anything I've heard on a Raw segment before.
Yeah. One last point on this topic was, I thought it was interesting during Rock Cena, most of the chants, though, were anti-Cena. It wasn't so much supporting The Rock, it was the whole, you know, let's go Cena, Cena sucks.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was a point well taken, yes. The Undertaker and Triple H match was a classic, and it happened exactly the way it should have. What I mean by that is the Undertaker won. Shawn Michaels did become involved in the match in one way or another. And at the end of the match, all of them walked out arm around arm. Dave, what did you think of the match?
I loved everything, too. I loved everything about it. Great storytelling, great actual wrestling. I thought there were some unique spots in the match. Shawn Michaels was brilliant, and had it just been The Undertaker versus Triple H, I probably would have enjoyed it because I like Hell in a Cell matches. But putting HBK in it, in my estimation, made it feel even that much more important. He was great.
Yeah. You know how critical, and the fans that listen to the show know how critical I've been of the booking of this match and the previous few WrestleMania matches. I think you hit the nail on the head. Having these three in the ring together, there was something special to it. I didn't know how the WWE was going to pull this off and finally put an end to this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
They did it, and they were very successful. And I couldn't be more pleased with the way things turned out with this one.
Now, what a moment for the three of them. Hey, wasn't it a cool cage setup, by the way? How they brought the cage down the middle of the show and then put it back up, but it was kind of out of sight, wrapped around by the decorations up top?
Yeah, the whole staging was very good, and I think we're going to talk about that a little bit, more of the negative aspects of it in a little bit.
Yeah.
But in regards to the cage, yes, that was very cool, how it was hidden, how it came down. You know how I'm kind of into that technical stuff.
Yeah, I know. Well, and the thing is, I feel like Charlie Brown here, because every time Lucy puts the ball down, Charlie Brown thinks he's going to kick it, and I always feel every year like the Undertaker is going to finally lose. There were a couple combinations in this match with Shawn Michaels and Triple H where it looked like they were going to double-team him and break the streak. Am I an idiot, or did you also feel there was maybe a chance?
Well, I think I recall midway through the match looking at you and saying, do you know who's going to win? Because we really didn't know.
Yeah, and that's great wrestling storytelling, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
The city of Miami, the host city for WrestleMania 28, I thought was a great spot to host this event. Jamie, we were there a better part of a week and did a lot of different things. I mean, Miami provides that opportunity to you. There's great beaches, there's fun bars and restaurants, the weather was magnificent, a lot of interesting venues. You know, friends were going to the aquarium and doing a lot of things that had nothing to do with wrestling, just enjoying the city of Miami. So my hat's off to Miami. I thought it was a great spot for WrestleMania. I thought actually having WrestleMania itself outdoors was cool. I'd never been to an outdoor WrestleMania before, so I enjoyed that. Did you enjoy the trip to Miami itself?
I did. I thought Miami was a tremendous city. I'd been there before on business, but only traveling through the city in a very short period of time. I thought, you know, a couple things that are important to me when I go to WrestleMania. One is transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there were plenty of taxi cabs. You could always catch something to pick up and go to the next spot that you had to get to. So check mark there. The venues themselves, I thought access was set up very well. Raw, obviously, the arena was fantastic, as it was for the Hall of Fame ceremony. And then WrestleMania, I agree. It was the first time I've ever been to any type of outdoor wrestling show, and I really enjoyed it. It almost made you forget that you were outdoors at times. So from a venue standpoint, it was great. And then the third thing, you know how important this is to me, the night scene. And Miami certainly offered up some very good nightlife, more so than I think any of the other WrestleManias you and I have been to.
Yes.
And I just thought overall the trip, I'd give it an A, absolutely.
I agree with you. I mean, certainly better than Atlanta last year, which no offense to Atlanta is a nice city, but I've been there a bunch, and to me it feels like a generic city. Whereas Miami, with the whole South Beach scene, and the weather is magnificent. And let's not forget, the people coming from far away, the people coming from out of town, you know, crossing the pond, as they say, a lot of them went down to Orlando, went to Disney World, and really turned this into a magnificent vacation. So, you know, having the opportunity to go and see another great city in itself and do some other kind of cool Americana things was a really nice experience for them.
There were a number of roster enhancements in the last week, and there are more to come soon. We had Lord Tensai show up on Raw. Alberto Del Rio is coming back. Christian will be back soon. Obviously, Brock Lesnar. Ryan Reeves, formerly known as Skip Sheffield, is making an appearance on SmackDown this week. My question after dragging this out quite a bit is, these roster changes, is this good or bad for the WWE?
I think they have to do it, because this is kind of what we always feel like the beginning of a new season for the WWE. And let's face it, Undertaker, Trips, HBK, and Edge are moving on. I mean, Edge, you know, was at the Hall of Fame this year, and it was really shocking when he couldn't wrestle after WrestleMania 27 last year. Big hole in the roster with those four guys here a year later, now no longer a part of the active roster. So, you know, you have to bring in some fresh talent, and they're doing that with some of these FCW guys. I have no problem with Brock Lesnar coming back. I think it's pretty cool, frankly. You know, I know there's, again, some rub, you know, whether, oh, God, you bring this guy in, just like you did with The Rock, from some of these, I don't know, mid-card WWE guys. I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, in wrestling, you can either draw or you can't draw. And Brock Lesnar brings in money for the company. So I think they're keeping things fresh. I will say I'm very glad they did not announce the main event for WrestleMania 29. I didn't need another 12 months of that.
Yeah, and I don't want them to. I don't want this feud between Lesnar and Cena to be carried out for a year. The Rock, okay, I mean, I get it, it was special. I don't want to see this Lesnar thing carried out for the whole year.
Can you imagine how nervous Vince was for 12 months that nothing happened to The Rock or Cena
Yeah.
every time they got behind the wheel of a car?
I agree with that. And that is something to worry about. But I'll tell you, the one thing I will say, though, is I question whether there should still be a separate Raw and SmackDown brand. Hmm. Seems like they're getting more and more away from that. As you bring in this new talent, let's get away from the branding. Let's just have one roster and, you know, split them up week to week and show them on both shows.
I agree. But I do think this is good. I think the infusion of this talent is good. Not everything at WrestleMania 28 and the subsequent Monday Night Raw was well done, though. In our opinion, there were some things that were negative, and we're going to discuss those. In my opinion, Daniel Bryan losing in 18 seconds in the opening contest of WrestleMania 28, also losing his World Heavyweight Championship, was not good. And let me tell you exactly why I don't think it was. I like the surprise ending. I'm okay with that. They got bumped from the show last year. They were in the dark match, so at least they were on the program. Wasn't maybe how they envisioned it. The reason I think that it was such a negative is because Daniel Bryan is so popular now, and it really turned the crowd and kind of pissed them off for the first hour of the show. I got the sense WrestleMania didn't pick up until Hell in a Cell, and I thought it hurt some relatively good matches after this opener because the crowd was just scratching their head and were a little angry.
Well, first of all, let's blame the right party here. It's not the WWE's fault. It's AJ's fault. How dare her get up on that ring apron and try to kiss Daniel Bryan like that? You know, I thought about this quite a bit, and the one thing I'll say is having Bryan lose in 18 seconds, yes, I would have loved to see a longer match, you know, carried out for 20 minutes or so. But does doing this to Bryan actually make him more popular with the fans?
Well, it might.
You know, they were fired up on Monday night because they wanted to see him. They wanted to cheer for him, and they didn't get that chance on Sunday.
But I felt bad for the people that went just to WrestleMania and didn't get a chance to see that on Raw the next night, because not everyone goes to that.
I understand. That's their choice, though.
And, yeah, sure, that's their choice. But if your favorite wrestler lost in 18 seconds and you flew from Ireland, you'd be like, Jesus, that sucked.
At least they have a whole card ahead of them of other wrestlers. This isn't a Mike Tyson 18-second one-fight, you know, defeat. I'm sure they didn't come to WrestleMania for that specific match. Not saying they weren't fans of Daniel Bryan. But all I'm saying is, you know, maybe in the long run this isn't a bad thing. I mean, Bryan's stock couldn't be higher.
Well, that's true. I just feel like if The Undertaker didn't take 45 minutes to walk down the aisle, that we could have had maybe, you know, a few minutes of this match anyway.
It did take about 45 minutes for him to walk down, didn't it?
I think he went to the bathroom.
I think he did.
No, I think you went to the bathroom, not him. Dead man.
Ring the bell. The WWE travel packages should have included hotel accommodations in South Beach, which is right along the ocean, as opposed to downtown Miami, which is about 20 minutes away. Dave, I wasn't as familiar with Miami. I like downtown, but if you want a true kind of party atmosphere, numerous restaurants, and a night scene, South Beach is where it's at, not downtown. And at one point about 6 months ago, maybe it was longer than that, maybe 9 months ago, the WWE sent a questionnaire out to its fans asking where would you rather stay, downtown or South Beach? Personally, I answered South Beach just knowing a little bit about it, but we ended up in downtown Miami. And I think that was a little bit of a mistake. What are your thoughts on that?
It's a tough topic because of the geography of that city. And people may not realize downtown Miami is kind of quiet, right?
Yeah. Honestly, if there's not an event downtown, I think the traffic would be scarce.
Yeah, it's all headed over to South Beach. And the problem is you have the nightlife, and you're kind of – it's in competition with the wrestling events, Access, Hall of Fame, and those things. And, you know, there's a good percentage of the people that come in for this that aren't interested in doing the salsa till 4 in the morning and passing out on the beach. But for those of us who may have been interested in that, it was tough because you're taxiing all around and – in my opinion, I was okay staying downtown Miami, but they should have had shuttles, I thought, going, because, you know, back and forth to Access and back and forth to the events, because, man, it got expensive hitting taxis all the time.
Yeah, it did. I'll tell you, you blow a lot of cash quickly, especially to Access, which was a $25 cab ride.
Yeah.
When I look at it, Dave, you know, there were 4 days of Access sessions, which means you had to pay four times to go across the bridge. But there was one Raw and one Hall of Fame ceremony, which meant if we were in South Beach, we would have only had to go across the bridge the other way two times.
That's a good point.
So I just would have liked it to be in South Beach. No, you know, hey, I had a great time no matter what. We found our little spots, including Checkers, which has the world's most famous cheeseburgers, and they will be a sponsor of the show someday.
They were good.
But I just would have. I think I would have enjoyed South Beach a little bit more.
I wanted to just be able to walk out of our hotel and go to the beach, and that was not possible. So I agree that that was a negative.
Watch out for the manatees.
The Divas wasted their spotlight at WrestleMania on a television host. Oh, boy, Jamie. One of my disappointments in WrestleMania 28 was not in the match itself. And Maria Menounos is actually passable as a professional wrestler. We said this before. Beth Phoenix, Kelly, and Eve, I think, deserve to be on this show. They had good years. But where's the storyline that's really interesting bringing in Maria Menounos? And subsequently, where's the follow-up? Okay, Maria pinned the Divas champion, which is just horrendous booking. And it's, by the way, the 40th match in a row ended in a roll-up. But what now? Who cares? So what? I don't get it. I don't understand why they would waste some talented girls. There were, you go back and watch a match, Jamie. There were some decent moves and work in that match. Why Maria Menounos?
Dave, I agree with you, and it's a shame because it takes away from what I thought was a pretty good Divas match where they let them out there and actually wrestle and not just go right to a finishing move. I thought the match itself was conducted very well. My question to you is, you know, where's Natty in this? And when's Layla returning? For the love of God, when is Layla returning? Ugh. You know, I keep reading about how she's doing all these wonderful things. She's going to get this major push. I would have rather seen her or Natty out there.
You know, and where was Karma? I mean, she came back to the Royal Rumble. I know she's had some personal difficulties, but the Royal Rumble was, what, almost 3 months ago? You know, I don't know. I just don't understand why they use the Divas in this way, because there's a seriousness to Beth Phoenix that, you know, she's a pretty good wrestler, and Kelly's improved, and I think Eve's improved. And you mentioned Natalya. They could have put together a pretty solid match here. Now, the other thing that confused me, Jamie, is Eve wrestled for the heel team in this case, and several matches later, she was on Team Teddy. Now, she caught Zack Ryder, and, you know, we know what happened there, but in that match, she was being cheered by the fans in a way, right?
Yeah, it was a little confusing as to why she was out there. I think if you read into it, it's just to show, you know, how deceitful she actually is, obviously. So that didn't bother me that much, but I understand the confusion. I think it played itself out through the end of that match and then into Raw the next night.
Well, women aren't deceiving, are they?
Most of the ones I've met are, except my wife.
Not a husky.
Dave, along the same lines of what we just talked about with Natalya and to an extent Layla, what messages are being sent to people like Natalya, Ezekiel Jackson, Mason Ryan, etc., people who were kept off the WrestleMania show and who aren't injured?
What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, especially for Natalya, who has been kind of buried in this silly, stupid, childish storyline, and Ezekiel Jackson, who has a pretty long losing streak going, doesn't it seem like there's some type of message being sent there?
Yeah, this is a good point you brought up. Usually everyone does something. Even they got Tyler Rex and, you know, some other folks in a backstage. Yeah, I mean, in this, right, the one-man rock band, you like him.
He's going to be a breakout star.
I think it's because you always thought you were a one-man rock band. You know, in all seriousness, I think they have to keep some people back as reserves because there could be injuries. And, you know, if the week before WrestleMania, Kelly sprains her ankle, you have someone like Natalya or Layla you can put into the match and, you know, kind of do some roster shuffling if necessary. But it's a little strange. I feel bad, you know, that there were some respectable WWE talents that didn't really get to do anything. Let's face it, you tell me Ezekiel Jackson and Mason Ryan could have been put into that, made it a 7-on-7 tag team match. Who would have cared, right?
Yeah, and, you know, you could certainly do something with throwing Alicia Fox and Natalya as well.
Yeah, because I didn't read the spoilers for SmackDown yet, but I don't know, maybe, does Layla come back this week? Maybe, I don't know. But you know, what is the purpose of just giving them nothing to do and then not debuting them? Because at least with Brock Lesnar, rumor had it he was coming to WrestleMania. didn't, but then he made a really big impact on Monday Night Raw. So I don't know what the message is, but I got to be honest with you. If I was one of those people who was not included on the show, hopefully I'm renting and not buying.
Trent Barretta is another one.
Thank God you mentioned him. Well, in my estimation, the Hall of Fame ceremony is usually a highlight of WrestleMania week. Boy, I did not love it this year. I know there's been differences of opinion. I have friends who really enjoyed it. I thought it was way too long for six people getting inducted. Six, you know, the horsemen, if you want to, you know, break them out into the individuals, because they ended up giving their own speeches. Maybe it was more like nine or whatever, but oh my goodness, I thought it was a long show. It was a plodding show. I didn't find the stories particularly interesting or funny. We've already seen Flair do a speech like this. Jamie, for me, it was not the highlight of my trip.
Well, it was long. I will agree with that. Some of the speeches just carried out way too long. You mentioned the horsemen. Really, it was more like 10 inductees as opposed to six. You know, you look at it, the show ran 3 hours. You had six groups or people being inducted. That gives 30 minutes to each one. You know, is that too long for somebody who's put their whole career into the business? I don't know how long Hall of Fame speeches run in other sports, but I can't imagine that it's less than 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to err on the side of being a little more lenient here and giving these folks their time.
But that's fair. You know, that's a good point, actually. You're right. I mean, someone who's worked Edge, you know, these guys worked their whole career. They should have as much time. So I'll concede that point. The other thing is I thought that audio was terrible in the arena. I had trouble hearing the speeches. They were just so soft I couldn't hear the audio. And there were a lot of empty seats, Jamie.
Yeah, I noticed the microphone was low pretty much the whole night, and it wasn't adjustable upwards. And I thought it did distort the sound a bit. It kept things a little quieter.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the WWE staff knows what they're doing, and I'm sure it came across very well on television. But, yeah, I agree. The sound was muffled a little bit, and you're right. The arena was not filled up.
You're not wearing a Mil Máscaras mask right now, are you?
For the rest of my life, I will have this mask on. There's not a darn thing you can do about it.
That's why they always say you have a good face for radio.
Thanks. I thought it was interesting that over the long weekend there was absolutely no mention of the WWE Network, whether it was a promo on for WrestleMania or at Raw or something at Access. Now, I may have missed something at Access, but I'm pretty certain that there was nothing mentioned at WrestleMania or Raw. I don't think this is a good sign. What do you think?
I didn't even notice this until you brought it up today in preparation for the show. And the minute you mentioned it, I said, geez, that's a great point. What's going on here? What a great opportunity to publicize, promote, and get people excited for this network. I'm getting really concerned or cynical that this is ever going to be on my television.
Now, why not have a station at Access where I'm sure they've done some pre-work on some of these shows, Legends House, the Big Show, Cooking Show, or whatever it is. You know, why not have an area set up where you can show, you know, bits and pieces of what these episodes would be like? It's also a good opportunity to bring in heads of cable companies, satellite companies, to show them what the WWE experience is all about. Now, maybe they did that. Maybe they brought bigwigs in and they were able to see the 70,000-plus fans in attendance and so forth. I certainly hope they did, because that's how you build a network. That's the only way to build a network. I'll tell you, I just every day that goes by, I'm getting a little, you know, more and more skeptical about it. I'm just not certain it's going to happen.
And I think the YouTube channels they have going on, that could be a good technology to use. Let me ask you this before we move on to the next topic.
Sure.
Do you think they can even keep our interest with a 24/7 channel? I mean, I love wrestling, Jamie, but I don't need to watch it all the time. And, you know, something like Legends House, is there going to be Legends House Season 2? Because let's face it, Jimmy Hart can't be in every one.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, a lot of these networks that get set up run, for example, a sports network. They'll run sports from noontime till midnight, and then they'll show infomercials throughout the night. And the WWE Network has made it clear that they do not want to do that. They want to have their content all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's tough. That is going to be tough to fill. I don't know. Again, I hope it works for their sake. I'm just not sold that it will.
I think a pro wrestling channel would be awesome. You know, where they show TNA, WWE, Shimmer, you know, all these promotions from around the world, you know, where they were all, but that'll never happen, of course, because, you know, Vince is a monopoly anyway.
That's true, but to hit on that point, though, if you didn't brand this as the WWE network, but instead branded it as the Wrestling Entertainment Network, and Vince could own it, but he could bring in Ring of Honor, TNA,
right,
some other promotions. Why not? And you know, it's giving exposure to the industry as a whole, which, honestly, I don't think it's a bad thing.
We've talked about the good. We've talked about the bad. Now we're getting to the ugly of WrestleMania 28. The stadium itself, while it looked magnificent, and I'm sure on television the event came off beautifully, there were a lot of obstructed view seats. Boy, would I be really torqued if I paid a lot of money and traveled to Miami to go to this event and I'm sitting behind a palm tree or sitting in one of those upper sections where you couldn't even see the ring. Jamie, how does this happen to a company like the WWE?
Yeah, Dave, what's interesting is some of the obstructed view seats were not located in a bad area.
Right, like, good point.
If the palm trees were not there, you would say, hey, this is a pretty good seat.
Great point.
Boy, the WWE really struck out with this. It's kind of like Jerry Jones, you know, and not to take a shot at Dallas, but
wow, that's below the belt. That does go in the ugly section.
I this is the ugly section, so it's apropos that I put it in there and mention it. You cannot, after having so much time to think about how to set up seating and so forth, you cannot swing and miss on this as bad as they did. Now, in the past, and I thought about this, for instance, in Phoenix and also in Atlanta, they had a similar setup where you had a canopy over the ring.
Uh-huh.
The thing is that the poles that held the canopy up, you could see through.
Yeah, so, they were stanchions or whatever they call them.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Correct. Now, I know the WWE was trying to be cute with this, the palm trees and so forth. Just have the palm trees start up a little bit higher so you can actually see through the bottom part of it.
Right, or even have them colored a certain way, even though they're still metal and people can see through them. These were though, correct, big tubes or tunnels or columns, whatever you want to call them, and you couldn't see through them at all. I felt very bad for those people.
No, the time that I did get up and use the restroom, I will say I walked up the tunnel. I looked back, and you're right, Dave, you know, that some of those upper sections, you couldn't see any of the wrestlers entering the ring.
Oof.
Because you couldn't see them until they actually entered the ring.
I mean, are outdoor stadiums the problem? Are they even viable for this kind of entertainment?
Well, if you want 70,000 plus, that's the way it has to be. If you're okay with going to an outdoor arena and only having 50,000 seats filled up and you block up the back section of it, that's, you know, so be it. That's what you'll get then. One theme throughout the weekend was the fact that anti-Cena fans are becoming even more agitated with him. Negative chants are, in my opinion, Dave, getting absolutely out of hand. I mean, we're sitting at WrestleMania. Many kids are around us. Some expletives are being yelled at Cena, the very worst kind of expletives as well. And, boy, there is a lot of hatred, more than I've ever seen, for John Cena. I think it's really getting out of hand.
It was bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and I guess my question is, where does the WWE go with this now? So you have your hero who fans don't like. Do you just let that play on and continue playing him up as a hero, even though people don't like him? Is that good business? I don't know the answer to that. Or do you flip him heel? And would that really even have an impact anyway?
I don't think he is going to ever turn because he's so important to the company at Make-A-Wish and at, you know, other types of social events, and his T-shirts just sell themselves. The thing is, I kind of feel bad for him. And at the end of the day, he's a millionaire, and he's world famous, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer, and, you know, I shouldn't feel bad for him. But the venom, I'm really glad we talked about this tonight because the venom directed at him, it's really personal, isn't it?
no matter what he does or says,
yeah,
they're on his case. And to your point, I feel bad for him too.
Yeah, I do too. And it seems like people have no respect what he does for this company. And yet it's like the old expression, if it's loud, it's good. You know, he comes out, it's loud. I mean, they're booing him or cheering him, but it's loud. So Vince has to think this is still good, right?
I guess. I just, you know, I heard people chanting, go to TNA and stuff like that. Really? I mean, you really want this guy? You hate him that bad that you want to boot him to TNA after all the good work he does for the WWE? The guy pours his heart and soul into the business. He works 300-plus days a year. I'll tell you, this is one person who doesn't want him to go anywhere.
If he goes to TNA, Jimmy, their ratings will triple.
Absolutely.
Right.
Be careful what you wish for. Dave, well, this last point here on the ugly section is not directly related to WrestleMania or the events that happened at WrestleMania weekend. I thought it was important to bring up the fact that Randy Orton was removed from the Marine 3 movie after outrage was expressed by the United States Marines for Orton's previous bad conduct discharge. I had no idea about this. I read it today, and I was kind of surprised that he had a bad conduct discharge. I had no idea he was part of the U.S. Marine Corps at one point. Mm-hmm. Now, is this on top of some of the other things we know about Orton, some of his other demons that he's had in the past, is this what's holding Orton back right now from being pushed?
I don't know. Boy, people live interesting lives, don't they? I had no idea that he was in the Marine Corps either. This was a complete shock to me. I do understand the uproar from the United States Marine Corps because of the seriousness of the offenses levied against Randy Orton. I mean, a dishonorable discharge, went AWOL a few times. I've done some work with the military professionally, and I know how serious they take what they do, and they should. I mean, my goodness, what they put their bodies on the line every day for this country. My question is, how in God's name did the WWE not know about this before it became public knowledge he was going to be in this movie? Do you think they were shocked?
I don't know. They obviously did the right thing to remove him immediately. But if they knew anything about this before and still tried to put him in the movie, boy, that's cutting open the goose to get the golden egg.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, it's a bad thing.
Well, consider also, Jamie, how much work the WWE does with the military. This, tribute to the troops. They're always focusing and showcasing them at the live events. So, wow, I mean, it just, they had to respond this way.
Well, I'll tell you what, like I said, if the WWE did not know about this and Orton, this just came about and they said, Randy, is this true? And he said, yeah, that's true. Well, shame on Randy Orton for not speaking up earlier and saying, look, maybe this isn't the right thing for me.
Final thoughts. Well, we mentioned at the top of the show that we both had a wonderful trip to Miami for WrestleMania 28, and Monday Night Raw was really memorable as well. I mean, Brock Lesnar's return, the crowd, Daniel Bryan, it was a really, really fun trip. And I think the WWE is headed in a good direction here. We have some young stars that are over with the crowd. There's a lot of momentum with the fans. I know people leaving Miami were very positive about their experience. They really had a great trip. And I think that's important because they're the ones who every year buy the tickets usually to come to WrestleMania. So that, I do feel like fans are invested in WWE. We have a lot of young stars on the rise. Overall, I thought WrestleMania 28 was a wonderful experience. I would give the event a B+. I would give the entire weekend an A-. The only negative was the distance between some of the events and the expensive taxis, but I'm really grasping there. It was a really, really wonderful experience, and I think the WWE should be very proud of themselves.
Dave, I have to agree with you on the WrestleMania 28 experience. Thought it was wonderful. We've gone to the last, several WrestleManias together, and I think this one, the whole package was the best one of them all. What I will question a little bit is your notion that the WWE is headed in a good direction. I think the WWE is headed in a questionable direction. I think it's interesting that they had to bring in another former star in Brock Lesnar, similar to what they did with The Rock last year, which only leads to more tension in the locker room with other, younger stars who are putting in a lot of time and effort, not getting pushed to main event status. I think Cena's future is in question. You know, where, what direction are they going to take with him? Are they going to allow him to go out there and embarrass himself time and time again, being booed like there's no tomorrow? I question whether the current crop of FCW wrestlers will become main eventers. Mm-hmm. Do they truly have the talent to do what it takes to get on top? And then my last question is, what is going to entice fans to buy WrestleMania 29 tickets? It is undoubtedly going to be a very expensive ticket, and you don't have, I don't think, a Rock versus someone draw. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm excited to see what the year brings, and you know, this certainly does bring a close to the 2011-2012 WWE year.
Absolutely. Well, now don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you are there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. Let us know your thoughts about the WWE's signature event. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions or feedback, anything you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We will also be posting directly to the official OWW Radio Facebook homepage. We hope you enjoyed our WrestleMania 28 recap. Until next time, I am David.
And this is Jamie.
We'll talk to you soon with another edition of OWW Radio.
All right, well that's okay.